Blog Talk Radio. To start conference recording, press 1. This conference is being recorded.
Welcome, 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 and good morning. We want to thank you for joining Message of Christ Church, where the senior pastor is Pastor Sylvia Staples. You have just tuned in to our mega broadcast hour prayer. We are on the broadcast number, which is area code 641-715-3670. If you at this time can actually go ahead and invite a loved one or a friend to join us on the call, we will gladly appreciate it. Today is our Power in the Word week. So as we go forward, you have just tuned in to Message of Christ Church. We welcome you for joining us on our Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time prayer. We want to invite you to join us back every Monday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time for our Miracle Monday, and every Sunday for our Bible study at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. We also want you to join us, or we ask that you actually reach out to us by way of our local administrative line. If you have any questions pertaining to the ministry, if you are interested in becoming an intercessor with Message of Christ Church prayer team, or if you have a prayer request, you can actually call the local administrative line. The only thing is that when we receive your request, we will actually pass it to one of the intercessors and we'll set an agreement with you. The number is 773-609-2071. Again, the administrative local line number is 773-609-2071. You can also reach out to us by way of email, which is at messageofchrist@yahoo.com, and messageofchrist@yahoo.com. And you can find our website also online at messageofchrist.net. And there you will find the prayer wall, and you can continue to make your prayer requests known, testimonies, praise reports, those things and events that pertain to the ministry. If you have not yet purchased your prayer shawl, we encourage you to do so as well for you or your loved one. You can also reach out to us by way of U.S. mail at Message of Christ, P.O. Box 390-762. We're located in Chicago, Illinois, and the zip code is 60639. Again, our U.S. mailing address is Message of Christ at P.O. Box 390-762. We're located in Chicago, Illinois, and the zip code is 60639. At this time, I am your host, Lalonda, Sister Lalonda, and as we go into prayer, before we go into our Power in the Word week, we just want to admonish God this morning. We want to thank God for being so grateful, so awesome. We want to bring all our thanksgiving unto Him because He said if we seek Him first, that all things will be added. So, Heavenly Father, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, as you cover this line, Father God, as you cover every frequency, Father God, as you open up our ears to hear and our eyes to see, Father, we thank you for leading us, Father God, into a worship, leading us into a study, Father, leading us in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father God. We thank you for every gift that you give us, Father God, that it is being stirred up in us to will and to do, Father God. We thank you right now today for newness, Father. We thank you, Father, for our life that was known before the foundation of this earth, Father God. So thank you, Father God, for exposing anything that is not of you, Father God. We come, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, all power over the enemy, Father God. We thank you, Father, as we come to you, Father God, just for speaking your faith, Father, commanding our mourning, Father God. We just know, Father God, in you, there is no loss, there is no failure, there is no gain, but it is just you speaking, Father. So we come to receive daily bread right now today, Father. We come by faith, Father God. We thank you right now today that we come, Father, hungry and thirsty, Father God, that we may be filled, Father, in every area, Father God, that you have called us to operate in, that you have called us to build, Father God. We just thank you right now today, Father God, for our well-being. We thank you for total healing, deliverance, Father God. We thank you, Father God, yes, Lord, for sanctification. We thank you for purity, Father God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Father God. We thank you right now today, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, because the plans that you have for our life, Father, for us to prosper, even in wealth and even in health, Father God, is manifesting right now today, Father God, because we chose to live a life, Father God, yes, Lord, in Christ today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we go forward, I just want to tie in as I listen to a couple of the Word of Power, the Word Week individuals from this week, pertaining to the power of the Word. I heard some about the fruit of the Spirit and those other ones that I didn't hear. I'm just going to trust by faith that it all ties into Word, but just knowing who you are in Christ and understanding that it's a newness. And so when I began to look up, or when I began to, you know, ask the Father to give me something to bring for his people this morning, and it was all about newness. I started in what to be the most high priest, or what that looks like. Then I went into priesthood and predestined and ordained. I only came to the word newness. So as we take this look back forward from the Old Testament to the New Testament, I'm going to bring us forward to the New Testament, to what newness is and what newness we can relate to, and how newness is so powerful when you're walking in faith and you're walking as a believer. So newness, as we define, it's fresh. Newness is original. Newness is different than before. Newness is successive. Newness is unfamiliar. So when we walk in our faith and we walk as a believer, we want these words to be originated, or we want these words to be subject to our character. We want these words to be subject to our life. We want to mirror what newness is in our everyday walk. So as we go into the word of study, we're going to go to First Exodus 1 through 8, and as we walk ourselves up into what newness looks like, up into the New Testament, we just want to see what it looked like in the Old Testament. So we're going to Exodus 1 and 8. And it basically says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." And in that particular passage, it said, "New king, which knew not Joseph." Back in this time, Joseph brought his family to Egypt and protected them there. But after Joseph's death, as they multiplied in nation, they were forced into slavery. This was Pharaoh in Egypt. God then prepared Moses to free his people from slavery and led them out of Egypt. To help Moses, God unleashed 10 plagues upon the land. After the 10 plagues, we all know this story, but just to give a recap, Pharaoh let the people go. On the night before the great Exodus, God's new nation celebrated the Passover. Just as God delivered Israel from Egypt, he still delivers us from sin. He still delivers us from death, and he still delivers us from evil. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it's only in his people, it's only in his creation of human mankind, where we have a choice. He told us to choose life, that our choices and our decisions as believers, as we walk in our faith, they become challenged. And it's the newness that we have to remember what brings us into a place where it's not about us, where it's not about what it is that we're going through per se. It's not about our circumstances. in our situation, but it's about God's people. It's about his kingdom. We go through so that we can be strengthened to keep going through. We go through because we want to be different than before. We go through because it's unfamiliar to us. We go through because we're successors as believers. So in this newness and in this time of slavery in Egypt, as we go into Acts 7, 18, and 19, it basically tells us that just as God delivered Israel from Egypt, that he still is delivering us from sin today, death, and evil through Christ Jesus. So as we go over to Acts 7, 18, and 19, it basically just reads us, and we'll read. I'm reading out of the King James Version Bible. So in this newness, as we look at it in Acts 17 and 18, 7, 18 through 19. We're still coming from Exodus, but it just ties in even the more when we go into the book of Acts about the slavery or the captivity that Israel was in Egypt. And in Acts 7, 18 through 19, it reads, "But when the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. So in this time, we just want to look at how in this Jewish history, it gives testimony of God's faithfulness. It gives testimony of sovereignty. So as we walk in this newness, we want to remember God's faithfulness, his sovereignty, despite the continued failures of his people, of his chosen people, and the swirling events. God was always working out his plan. When we were faced, or when they were faced, because I still say we, because we're still Israel. And Israel was the name that God gave to the people that means to prevail with him and to prevail with man. So in this newness, when we walk in a new level, when we walk in a new season, when we walk in a new time, it's original. It's the same thing that was. It's the same thing that was before. If God is the same and he never changes, his plan for man never changes. So in this time, God was working out his plan. And when Israel was faced with the confusion array of circumstances, and when we're faced with the confusion array of circumstances, we got to always remember God is in control. Nothing surprises him. We got to always remember the world is not all there is. It will pass away, but God is eternal. We have to always remember that God is just, and he will make things right, punishing the wicked and rewarding the faithful. God wants to use us like he used Joseph, like he used Moses, like he used Stephen to make a difference in the world. And when we walk in that newness, all that newness is the Christ position. It's who we became. It's when the Holy Spirit downloads his fruit of his spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit tells us that he's the comforter and the consolation. It's the Holy Spirit that takes control and gives us utterance for what we pray for. So that's the thing that we want to always walk in. That's the character and the culture that we always want to continue to strive for in this season and in this time. As we go over to Psalm 105 and 24, and it basically gives us, as Psalms is a book of praise and thankfulness. It gives us just enlightenment of what the people went through and how their circumstances looks as if it was working in their favor, and it was. And it just basically reads in Psalms 105 and 24. It reads how to reach out even in their circumstances. It says in Psalms 105 and 24, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Now look how God still works out his plan. Even though Pharaoh took captivity of Israel and thought that by numbers as they multiplied, that they and knew by numbers as he saw them, they were getting stronger, there was still nothing that he could actually do to captivate God's people. So in this time, it's the same as for where we are. If God seems far away, we have to persist in our search for him. God rewards those who sincerely look for him. When Jesus promised, seek and you shall find, that was a valuable way to search out God, to become familiar with the way that he has helped his people in the past. So in this newness, this newness was mandated over the life of God's people over time. But the Bible records the history of God's people. And in searching the pages, we'll discover a loving God who is waiting for us to find him. If we have not found him, he wants to continue to show us that he's always there. He never leave or forsake us if we never leave or forsake him. So as we continue to speak about the newness, I want to just go back into what that newness was when it looks as if in our life, when we've been transformed, when we are believers, when we're walking in faith. Just three areas to point out. We're ordained in that newness. And it, ordained means to appoint, set aside, or decree. We're predestined. To foreordain, predetermined by divine decree. And our newness is our priesthood. It's our office. It's our ministry of priests. So when we're walking in that newness, we have to always remember exactly what it is that God called us, why he called us, particularly he said he wanted to make our name great. Particularly he said that he wanted to build a nation in us. So as we continue to go forward, we're going to go over to Deuteronomy 24 and 5, and it gives relative scripture about marriage, but we're going to look at marriage since marriage is the mystery of the church. We're going to look at marriage as just a relationship that a husband and wife have that we're supposed to also have and mirror with our Father. As we this newness, it basically reads in Deuteronomy 24:5, it reads, when a man have taken a new wife, and if there are wives and or husbands on the phone, it can also be encouraging as well, but we're looking at this passage for newness. We're looking at this passage to mirror the relationship that a wife and a husband shall have as we shall have with our Father in heaven. And it reads in Deuteronomy 24 and 5 out of the King James Bible, when a man have taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home here, and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. Now, from this time in Deuteronomy 24, it's basically speaking about 24 and 5. It's speaking about newly married couples were to remain together their first year. This was to avoid placing an excessive burden upon a new, unproven relationship and give it a chance to mature and strengthen before confronting it with numerous responsibilities. It says to let your marriage grow strong by protecting your relationship. And again, we're relating this to marriage, but if marriage is the mystery of the church, there's also a relationship that God is calling for us to actually mirror. There's also a time in our life when God gave us a chance to mature and strengthen before we're confronted with responsibilities or before he gives us anything. His word says that he won't give us more than we can bear. That's in blessing and curse. He won't put too much on us if we can't bear it. But then it says, let your marriage grow strong. So let your relationship or your commitment or your submission grow strong by protecting your relationship that you have with God from too much outside pressure, from too much outside distraction, especially in the beginning, so especially in our walk, especially when God has just downloaded a part of his plan in our life, because what we know in part. So every time he downloads something, or every time he exposes something, or every time he reveals something to us, in our newness, we have to make sure that there's not a lot of outside pressure or distraction. And it's and we can't expect or demand so much in this time that we have inadequate time and energy to establish this submission or this relationship with God. And in that, as we've been speaking about our newness and in our walk and who we become in God, it's like marriage. It's a responsibility to walk in the kingdom. It's a relationship that requires a relationship with God, requires constant communication with God. And as we go into 2 Samuel 6:3, it basically tells, what are you carrying? Who are we when we have become what God has ordained and predestined in our life? As we look at 2 Samuel, it actually tells us the newness that was spoken to them when they had to carry the ark. So we're going to 2 Samuel 6:3. And it basically says, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah and Uzzah and Aol. The sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. So in this time, it's speaking about the ark. And the ark wasn't something that it was supposed to be carried by holiness and royalty. It wasn't to be moved until it was agreed upon or God had given permission. So in this time with the ark, we want to look at how sacred it was, how sacred we are to carry our life. If we look at our life as the ark and we look at what God has given us as that sacred treasure, as we look at ourselves as symbols of God, that we're preserved with power. As we look at our lives as that ark, and it's the bread of God that's miraculously sent from heaven, during our times of wilderness, we have to stand. We're the temple. We look at our temple. We look at our body as a living sacrifice. God gives us all power over what it is that we go through in the wilderness, in our wilderness seasons, in our wilderness times. And as that symbol, it's a high priest authority that we come into agreement with. And it just basically teaches us how nothing's really happened to us. Because if Christ died for everything on the cross for us to live as believers on earth, and we just got to get to that place as believers. We got to get into that newness of state. It's a mind state. It's a mind frame. It's a heart check. And we got to understand what that looks like to walk in that authority. We have to mature. We can't keep going back and accepting or being comfortable with just receiving the milk of the word. The bread of the word strengthens us. The bread of the word, the meat of the word, I'm sorry, strengthens us. The meat of the word gives us more life. It gives us the opportunity to be able to exercise faith with other people. It gives us opportunity to impartake and collaborate with more of God's plan. So as we move forward as the high priest and authority, we're going to actually go over to 2 Samuel 3:3. And just one second. And we continue to talking about as this newness and who we've become in God and where we're going. And just remembering that back in the past or back in the Old Testament, as we be brought forth to the New Testament, that there's still that same newness or that same power that still exists. And we're not to, like, forget what it is that have already been predestined and ordained before our time. So as we go to this, and it's actually, we're going into... Hold on one second. As we come out of 2 Samuel 6:3, we're going to go into 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. So as we tie in the ark, as we tie in the resemblance of who we are as the temple of God, it basically reads in 2 Corinthians, expounding of what that looks like. 2 Corinthians 3 and 3 says, 3 and 4 we'll start from. No, it's 3 and 3. It says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with length, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of heart." And when that speaks, it speaks about the time when Paul used powerful imagery from the Old Testament passage in that day, and it spoke about the new hearts. It spoke about the new beginning for God's people. It says, "No human being taken care of can take credit for the process of conversion. It is the work of God's Spirit. We do not become believers by following some manual or using some technique. Our conversion is a result of God's implanting His Spirit in our hearts, giving us new power to live for Him." And in that time in 2 Corinthians, Paul was not boasting about anything. He gave God the credit for every accomplishment. While there are false teachers that boasted of their own power and success, what Paul tried to express was his humility before God. And as we know what comes after humility, or before humility, is the honor. The honor that we have to give God in everything that we have to become humble or in humility with. No one is in competition to carry out the responsibility of God's calling in his or her own strength. Without the Holy Spirit enabling, our natural talent can carry us only so far. As Christ's witness, we need the character and special strength that only God gives us. So in this time of developing, in this time of maturity, and as we look over the years and the time of the Old Testament, we watched how Israel, because we're still speaking to this newness of Israel as well, as we prevail with God and man in this time and in this age and in this generation, the maturity that was required over time is only given in character of who God is only given in what we experience, what we demonstrate, what we witness. It's a special strength that only God can give us. So as we go forward and we begin to understand who we really are, we get to understand what God has called for a plan on our life, what God has called us to build, we go into Ezekiel. And it's when God regathers Israel. As we go into Ezekiel 11 and 19, it basically speaks about the gathering of Israel. As God gathers up Israel in 11 and 19, it basically says, 11 and 19, it goes more into the time when God actually said he'll give us a new heart. So Ezekiel 11, 19 in the King James Version, as we speak about and keep in remembrance of the newness. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." And in that speaking, when he spoke about that heart of flesh, as we basically look to understand more about what that looks like and what it details in our life right now, you can go over to Jeremiah 32 and 39. And it's going to basically show us more of what the new heart of flesh looks like. Because as we are the Word, God spoke us here. We know that His Word don't go out and come by void. God spoke plan in our life for each and every one of us. He knew what it was when he created us. So let's take a look at what the heart of flesh looks like. In Jeremiah 32 and 39, it basically says, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And it basically speaks that God uses his power to accomplish his purposes through us, through his people, through the believers. That God doesn't give you power to be all of you, but he gives you power to be all that he wants you to be. So it's not that we use the power or we walk in that power. If you could start with your phone, please. There's a lot of distractions in the phone right now. Or if you're on speaker, can you start with your phone? So when God gives us, thank you, when God gives us his power with his new heart, or we walk in the power of the new heart, because the power is not something that we can actually look like Incredible Hulk in, but it's the spiritual power. It's the power that he's given us to overcome this world. It's by faith. See, our weapons are not carnal, but the power that he's given us is not for all that we want to become. But it's for the power that he's given us for what he wants us to become. And the people of Israel had to learn that trusting God meant radically realigning their purposes and desires with him. So daily we have to realign our purposes and our desires with God. We have to learn to trust him, that he gave us a new heart toward him, so we must develop that singleness of purpose to love God above anything else. And as we continue to listen to what that looks like, we have to understand that when he gave us a new heart, he gave us a new mindset, he gave us a new life, he gave us newness and change of perception of kingdom work and kingdom activity. So when we walk in our walk in our faith and we realize and we come to the conclusion that it's not about us. In my walk in faith, I can say ever since I've been saved, ever since I confessed my life to the Lord and I believe that Jesus died for my sins, it's been about 9 years. And I can truly say up until this year, I really accepted the fact of who I've become. I've actually understand the transformation. I can see more as I decrease in my way. And I was like, send me and I'll go. Now, I came in with that confession, but I didn't really know once I got saved in the beginning what that was. I just knew it was something that, like I said, it was fresh for me. It was something original. It was something that was different from then before. It was something that was unfamiliar for me. But as I began to mature over the years, and I hope it don't take another 8 or 10 years for me to actually progress or for me to actually take on more of spirit. But in God's will and in God's timing, I just thank God for working with us as his people. But back into my testimony, as I grew and matured, it was more than God could give me to work in the kingdom. It was more vision he gave. It was more provision he gave. It was more mission he gave. It was more to the part of my life that I always wanted to know. And as much as I wanted to know who God was and the closer I got to God, even though it was times that I was stagnated, it was times that I had a reprobated mind. You know, we all go through as believers those times, but it's not the hypocrisy that the world look at, the same way we look at it. It's not that we walk in a faith or a trust or we walk in a belief of God as believers, and they look at it as, oh, you're a hypocrite because you go back into the same mind state or mind frame, but it's how long will you stay there. It's do you receive the repentance and the power that God has given you to come out of whatever it is that you backslid into, and you begin to move back and get back in alignment with God's word. As it said, we have to keep our realigning ourselves with our purposes and our desires for him. So the hypocrisy that they look at, it looks at not what it is that we actually standing in repentance and forgiveness, and God has already forgiven us, and we're walking forward. But they look at it as, you're still doing the same things that I'm doing, or you're still speaking the same way, so there's no difference. But when I realize how much of my life can save somebody else's life, how much of my life is a testimony, how much of my life is a proving of how someone else can actually come out of darkness or come out of the things, you know, that I was in, or just be saved. It was this year. And as I took on that oath, I wanted to know more of God, and he showed me more of me that would get in the way. So in this time, you realize the newness. You realize the responsibility to the relationship that you have. You realize how much your life has been ordained and predestined. And our priesthood, to walk in the ministry or the vocation of what we have all become as believers. We take a look, and we finally come into what fulfills the old, which is as we go into Mark in 1:27, when Jesus teaches the greatest authority. And in Mark 27, it's basically going to show us some of the things or some of the miraculous signs that Jesus brought forth in his time. In Mark 1:27, it basically reads, let me get there. And we're still speaking about the newness. So Mark 1:27 reads, and they were all amazed, and so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. So in Mark in 1:27, he basically explains to us how Jesus actually taught the disciples in great authority. They had the actual word walk before with them, the very thing that we have with us today in our newness and our way that we walk with God. They actually had him to walk with them. They had the opportunity to be that close to Christ, that it was the greatness and authority that actually, so in this time, as we look at what God, what Christ have brought us into a place and what he has taught us through experience, through word, through us decreasing and dying to ourselves, we also look at what it is that he gave us. And if he gave us this new life, then as we take on the mind of Christ, as we understand who we are in Christ, we actually understand that we also have that same power. We have that same power and that same great authority to walk in. We also have that same anointing to walk in. And as we walk in it, God has given us that same mandate to say that we all will be amazed. People will all speak amongst the things that draw them to God through what it is that we actually perform. If we're the word and flesh, we receive a heart and flesh, then there's much work that we have in Christ, authority to cast out those things that does not belong to God, to cast out demons and evil spirits that's ruled by Satan, that come to harass the people. And in that time when Christ was teaching his great authority, or when he was walking in the greatness of his authority, it just showed how much powerful in his walk that he had over everything or anything that tried to come against him or come against him in that time. And it was not only did he walk in it, but he mirrored what it was that God had sent them to do. He was the actual word that God has sent to actually heal the people or to actually deliver them from whatever it is that was trying to destroy them, as far as how Satan came and the fallen angels joined them against God. And Jesus in that time faced many demons. during that time on or during his time on earth, and he always exerted authority over him. Not only did the devil leave him, but Luke records that the man was not even injured in this time. And it's just basically talking about when time when Jesus was rejected in Nazareth. While not only some possessions today, possessions of demonized possessions today, it still does exist. But we're not supposed to be fearful. However, the power and authority that we walk in, it overcomes. It knows how to conquer. It knows how to not fear evil. It knows how to walk in evil and not become possessed or overtaken by it. It's just the power that we stand in through Christ Jesus to overcome all power over darkness and even evil forces. As we put on God's armor, it teaches us how to move in that great authority. So even in that speaking, that great authority that Christ taught, it still lives and resides in us today. It's part of who we become in him. So as we look into Luke 5 and 38, as we speak about the newness, freshness, us being different from than before, us being successors, us being the original. In Luke in 5 and 38, it just basically speaks about, let's go ahead and just read. It speaks about when Jesus, or the passage about Jesus healing the paralyzed man. In 5 and 38, it says, but new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. So in this time, we all heard, you can't mix the old with the new. But in scripture, as it says, it talks about these bottles. It talks about our life. It talks about who we have become. It talks about the temple of God that we actually walk in daily. This new wineskin expands as it ages. So it had to be, or we have to be put in new pliable wineskins. We have to be given this new heart of flesh. We have to be given a new mind. We have to be given a right spirit in order to walk in this newness, in order to walk in this authority. A used skin, more rigid, will burst and spill the wine. Like old wineskins, it's too rigid to accept Christ. So you have to become new. And what could be tamed in these times was different traditions and rules. But in the newness, it's the Christianity required new approaches. And it says new traditions, new structures. Our church program and ministry should not be so structured that they have no room for a fresh touch of spirit, a new method, or a new idea. We too must be careful that our heart does not become so rigid that it prevents us from accepting the new ways of thinking that Christ brings. We need to keep our hearts pliable so we can accept Jesus' life-changing message. And in this message, it's just what we need to be as a believer. It's where we need to be in our walk of faith. It's where we need to be in Christianity for his word to actually bring forth the newness, or for his word to be fulfilling in our life. As we go over to John 13 and 34, and John 13 and 34, it basically reads, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. We go on to 35. By this shall